Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again, to Blog Talk Radio. This evening we have our guest speaker, Dr. Larry Palmer from out of Maryland. from out of Maryland, and he is going to be, actually I'll let him tell you exactly what he's going to be speaking on, but just to give you a brief bio of Dr. Palmer, he is a native of Princeton, West Virginia. He has served in this country for 30 years and reached the highest enlisted rank in his latter years of service. He held the position of Command Chief Master Sergeant in the 11th Wing, Boeing Air Force Base, where he is oversaw the responsibility of 40,000 people. Bishop Palmer served as a deacon for 2 years and began preaching the Word of God in 1987. He worked in the Multiple Air Force Chapel Program, where he served as interim pastor, president of the advisory board, lay leader of ministries, and various other positions. He has preached internationally and served as a pastor and assistant pastor in the local community and interim pastor on diverse occasions. Bishop Palmer has served as the senior pastor of Israel Total Life Ministry in Waldorf, Maryland for the past 5 years. He is a unique teacher, powerful preacher, and compassionate shepherd full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bishop Palmer holds multiple degrees, including a doctorate degree in philosophy and religious studies, a master's degree in public administration, bachelor's degree in human resources, and 2 associate degrees, one in propulsion engineering and the other in personal administration. He is married to the former Brenda Hurd, and they have 2 grown sons and 7 grandchildren. Amen, amen, amen. Dr. Palmer, are you on?
I certainly am, and thank you again for having me on your show, The New Beginnings, and I'm excited about what God is going to do throughout the evening. So thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. We are going to turn the mics on over to you. We have I'm going to open up all the mics in case anyone has any questions as you are speaking. If they have any questions, we are an interactive Bible study, and basically people from different states, and if they have questions, we basically open it up so that the man of God is able to answer those questions, or, you know, someone else may be able to respond to those questions. Amen? So we're looking forward to you. We did open up the time for you to give you enough time. So it's normally to 8 o'clock. I did open it up to 8:30. Just to make sure that you had enough time to share what the word, what God has placed on your heart. Amen?
Amen. Well, thank you so very much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The mic is in your hand.
Well, amen. I'm coming on perhaps a few minutes behind. Had a little technical difficulty dialing in. I do would like, if we have not already, to open up in prayer, if that's okay. We thank God for being who we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. There's so much stuff happening in the world today that we need to pray before we take any action. One of the biggest things that I think that is affecting the children of God is that they have a plan and they try to execute that plan without including God. So things go haywire when God is not in your plan. So if we're going to plan tonight to have a great time, we have to let God be executed in our plan. So let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight again for your masterful hand being upon us. We thank you for New Beginnings Ministry. We thank you for those who have an ear to hear on the airwave tonight. We bless you. We thank you. We magnify your holy name. You're worthy to be praised in all that you do say and command. Oh, God, we thank you for appointing. We thank you for disappointing. We thank you for opening doors and closing doors. We bow before you. You're a matchless God, and there's just nobody like you. We're searched all over, God, but now we know within our spirits as we mature in you that there's just nobody like Jehovah, and we thank God that we're under your mighty hand. Bless us now as we study one with another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, for those who are on the line, again, I thank my closest friend, a dear brother in the Lord, John, and his wonderful wife, Suzanne, for having me on New Beginnings blog again, and those who are on the airways with us. We're going to be talking about a normal subject tonight, one that God preciously gives unto us. Of course, the greatest thing that God can give us is the gift of life and salvation, but there's another that ranks right up there, and It is time management, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So those on the airwaves, if you have a question, and as a matter of fact, I may have a few questions for you, but those on the airwaves, if you have a question, please feel free to chime in, and I certainly will do my very best to answer the question that you may have concerning the subject that's going to be discussed tonight or another subject matter that's germane to what we're talking about. Time management is not a secular instrument that we have to be apprised of. It is actually scriptural, and it is biblical for us to have and us to do. One thing God loves for us to do is to be in order in all things that we do. When we don't look at time and what time does for us, then we get out of sync with God, because God is time and time is life. And if God is time, if God is alive, and if God is the thing that we measure all other things by, then God is our time clock, and we must do things in the present and on time for God. We say over and over that He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. So if He's an on-time God and He comes to our rescue on time every time, and not just in the nick of time, then God is concerned about time. So we thank God in the presence of the Lord for knowing that we need to have some time management. Now let me just open with a scripture tonight, and it's coming out of Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Again, that's the scripture, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, and there will be others, but just let me read this to and for your hearing. It says, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Again, that's coming from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. As we look at the expository breakout of this portion of Scripture, we find that the Lord is concerned about how we walk and represent Him. And if we walk and represent Him, we must be wise in how we do that, making the best of our time. Too many times, especially we as church folk, we have habits that steal away the time not only from worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, but we steal time from others because we planned and we set in order what time we're going to be at church or in the presence of the Lord. And normally, I must say, in my church, like many others, there are those who plan to come late. And as a result of planning to come late, it's against what it says in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, making the most of your time. We find that we can do many other things, and we can do them right on time. We can take a cruise, and the cruise ship leaves the dock at a certain time. If we treat that cruise like we treat church, then we would miss the cruise. The same thing with airlines. If we treated that like we treat God, then we would never fly, because we're late most of the time doing what God has required us to do. So we need to make sure that we're doing the wise thing for God and representing God when we stamp on our resume that we are Christians in the body of Christ. And then it goes on to say, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, this expands what we need to know about Christ Jesus and how we need to represent God. And I pray that each and everyone on the line is representing or representing God tonight in a special, special way. That's what our job is to represent who He represents, and that is our Savior Jesus Christ. So if we present ourselves as a living sacrifice before the Lord, God is certainly pleased with us because we're now emulating who He is. Let me stop at that point and ask, are there any questions so far as we introduce what we're going to be talking about tonight as far as managing your time? Are there any? Please chime in. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you for all understanding. Let me move you to another scripture before we go straight into the principles of what we're talking about tonight. And that's coming from Psalms 90 and 12. Psalm 90 and 12. The word of the God that we serve reads as thus: teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. That's pretty powerful. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. God is saying, if we have anything, it's to be wise on how we walk for God. Number our days as such. And these are the days of our lives. And it's not a soap opera. These are the days of our lives that people watch us, they see us, they evaluate us, whether you want to be evaluated or not. They look upon you every day, especially when you say that you are a child of the living God, to see how you're going to walk in wisdom with the Lord. And your days are numbered, and they wait, the world does, for you not to present God or represent God in a certain way. So we have to walk in wisdom according to God's plan. Is there any question on this particular scripture? Amen. Let me go to three principles of God that we're going to look at tonight. You may want to have something to write these down. They're very apropos for what we're going to talk about. The first thing, the first principle, is to count each day because every day counts. Sounds very simple, but it's actually powerful in what it's trying to explain to you and give to you. Count each day because every day counts, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth in a few minutes. The second principle is successful people are in control of their time. Well, let me repeat that. Successful people, meaning that there must be some unsuccessful people that are not in control of their time. But successful people are in control of their time. The third principle is that God doesn't ask us to do more than he gives us the time to do. God doesn't ask us to do more than he gives us time to do. As we move forward and look at the purpose of what we're going to gather, or our takeaway for tonight, our goal is really to understand how valuable God's time really is. God will allow you leisure time. God allows you time for vacation. God wants you to be in good health. God wants you to be in good spirit. But we must realize that all of our time, if God is the keeper of the time, belongs to God. Amen. Let's look at those principles. First, I want to state, if you don't manage your time well, if you don't manage your time well, there's a high possibility and more likely that you won't manage anything else very well either.
Wow.
Let me say it again. If you don't manage your time well, more than likely, you won't manage anything else well. That has to do with your bank account. That has to do with your relationships. That has to do with what, because you don't give any value to time. And I pray that we will take the time to let time be valuable to us and know that our time belongs to God. When we do, we respect time a lot better. The wise use of your time will give you great benefits to you and your fellow man. We will become successful in being able to glorify God if we have a reverence for time. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. We will be successful in what we do, and we'll have a reverence for God if we learn to value our time. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit on discussion. And I'm going to open it up to the floor and open it up to those who are on the line, perhaps. And I just want anyone who feels led to chime in at this particular point. And it's a very simple question. And here it is. What does time mean to you? What does time mean to you? Anyone?
Open for everyone.
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes,
praise
please.
The Lord. I believe time for me means preparation.
Uh-huh.
Preparation to do whatever the task that I have to do.
Amen.
So time will represent me. It's preparation.
Amen. Let me ask you on the statement that I made before about managing time. Are you a time manager, or do you think you can manage your time a little better?
Yes, I believe I can.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that I can be better at my time management.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I can do better.
Do you mm-hmm. see the benefit if you use your time well, how it relates to the Spirit of the Lord and worshiping God, and how God puts things in order with time?
Right.
Uh-huh.
I see a difference when, you know, when I set my time right before the Lord, doing things for the Lord, I see results.
Okay.
And I see blessings when I
Amen.
Do that.
Amen. You know, I'm a writer. I like to chat. I find that as I continue to mature in Christ Jesus, and as I grow older, I have to write things down.
Yes.
And make notes to myself on the day that I have planned. If not, I'm usually distracted by someone that wants to have a conversation with me, and it takes away from something that I have planned. Not that I just cut everybody off, but somehow I get back on track. There's a moment in this time period that I have to get back on track so I can complete the task at hand mm-hmm. for today. And this is where I think we kind of fall short, and we don't do what we are on track to do because of the distractions that come our way every day.
Mm-hmm. And
every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Any other comments?
No. Yes, I just wanted to say this is a very good subject, and time for me means everything, because once you lose that time, you can't get it back. So, like at the beginning of my day, when I do have that worship time with God, which is at the very beginning, sometimes He wakes me up during daybreak when the day breaks, and what I do is I acknowledge Him. I said, Lord, we're so personal. I said, Lord, what is it today? I already have a schedule as far, because I'm a writer as well. I already have a schedule as to what I'm going to do that particular day or the next day. And you're right. When people sometimes interrupt that time,
mm-hmm.
it's hard sometimes for you to get that back. So what I do, if there's prayer time or if I have prayer with some sisters that I have there in different states, and we do like a conference call and we pray, nothing, I won't allow anything to jeopardize that or come between that time that I
right.
spend with them. So, yes, time is very important. And God, like you said before in the beginning, He does things in order. He is yep. order. And that's what He wants us to be. And as I get older, because there was a time where I mismanaged my time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I could be even better now, but I'm nowhere where I used to be. And I thank God for that because, like I said,
yeah.
once that time is gone, you can't get it back.
Yeah. 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 It's history. And it's something you can talk about, but certainly you cannot regain.
No, you can't. Mm-mm.
Or make up. You hear people saying, I have to make up some
make
time.
Make up that time. Mm-mm.
There's no way you can make up time because
no
once it's gone. You can do better in the time that we have remaining, but the time
yeah.
that we have spent is already gone. And we have to recognize that in all things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm teaching this subject to the congregants because we have people that have become habitually
Late. Sounds
late.
Like my church.
And it seems like the late now has become their own time.
Ooh.
You follow what I'm
saying? Yes.
The late has become the app. Well, if I'm 15 minutes late, to me, I'm on time.
Yeah. The trick of the enemy. Yeah.
And what happens is the enemy gets them to say, okay, I can flip that more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, they're out of order with God,
mm-hmm.
realizing that time is a discipline for them
mm-hmm.
to be where God would have them to be. See, I'm a disciplinarian and discipleship of God.
Mm-hmm.
If God moves me on Sunday morning to preach before they have praise and worship, I will do it.
Wow, that's good. Wow.
Because you just missed the word. You may have missed your blessing. This is not aiming, but if God says so, then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. And some people, well, you know, you have to have praise and worship to usher in God. Now, when you come into church, you enter into this house with thanksgiving to his
courts.
That's
right.
That's good.
We enter into the house of God. We ought to come with something, not waiting on somebody to give us something.
That's good.
We have to come with something. So we need to come in lifting up holy hands and praising God with expectation that God is really going to do something because he inhabits the praises of his people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oftentimes we find that people become accustomed to that, and I do have some folks that I know that come right after praise and worship, or they'll come right after the offering. They'll come.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our service is not regimented to a certain platform, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we leave room for the Spirit of the Lord to move and to work. But we have been blessed for the
mm-hmm.
last years. I know Brother John was reading my resume, and I have to update it. But for the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
to be on time every time.
Amen.
I mean, the gauntlet dropped at 11 o'clock, boom. When we had 8:30 and 11:30 service, boom. And I am so happy that we had, whether I'm there or not, whoever is, whenever, it. I mean, wheels are in the well at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And you know something else, Bishop? When we get that mindset like that, oh, well, I'll come after praise and worship, or I'll come 15 or 20. We get that mindset, and before we know it, it becomes such a habit, a habit, and we're going through that. We get lackadaisical in meeting God in the place, you know.
And
yes.
And the thing that...
May I add
something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The other thing is that's a stronghold area because what it is rebellion.
Yeah.
It's rebellion and it's a control.
Wow.
It's a spirit of control.
Mm-hmm.
That I can do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sign of immaturity. So it's the that's the Antichrist spirit, or you know, that would have somebody do that. It's okay for them. This
mm-hmm.
love, this okay for everybody else. This is the rule, but I can do what I want to.
Wow.
So that's something that has to be broken. And like my sister was saying, that when you keep doing it, people keep doing it, they become comfortable in it, and it becomes their habit. But not only their habit, their custom, and that's what they're accustomed to. And and that affects the whole culture of the church. So the church or anything. So breaking that spirit of control and that immature, childish spirit, that's what causes that. I was we were talking about time and how precious time is, and I think of time as an opportunity, and that. So when you say you're going to be in church, when you say you're going to do something, do what you say. Like they say, well, how do they say it? Say what you say. What you want to do it. You know.
Yay and nay be nay.
Exactly. That's kind of maturity. Be there, but you also have to be open to the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing with my husband and some friends what the Lord had me do today. I went to visit my father. And the Lord just impressed upon me to take the rapid transit, what we call here, it's like a train, downtown public transportation, rather than drive. So I did. And it didn't really throw me, I mean, it threw me off as far as have being able to just run down there, run back, me and my car, me and my praise and worship music all locked in and protected. But it opened my eyes as to what was out there. And I don't know if I did what the Lord wanted me to do, but I was in a position to be
where
I know the Holy Spirit wanted me to be at the time.
Right.
So as far as time is concerned, like when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you to do something, you can't say, oh, not now, or maybe he's not talking to me.
Right.
You know, I'll do it tomorrow if the Spirit hits me. You know, that type of thing. You're supposed to respond when he says respond.
Right. And this is something that helps me. And you can see it. It is natural to see in people who do not have a value for time. That I live in the city of Washington, D.C., and you know, many avenues that you can get around, you catch the metro. The metro runs, and it has been running for years, you know, on every X amount of time and X amount of minutes it would run by and it would pick up. It even shows you a sign. The train will be here in 3 minutes. Train would be here in 7 minutes. Train, they know what time the train is going to be there. But people, when I was managing downtown before I retired, they would come in with the excuses that the train was late.
Hmm.
You know, the train was late. But it's just that they're just not there on time.
Oh,
they try to be on time, and on time for the saints of God is late.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when we get that in our system to understand, if service starts at 11 o'clock and you come in at 11 o'clock, you're late.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not prepared in what God says prepared. And if you go to the 10 virgins, you will find out late will death upon you.
Wow.
Because your oil is not in the trim.
Wow.
Brings death upon you, even though you're there trying to do the right thing, but you're not there on time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't go and ask for somebody else's time because you're not doing what you're supposed to do on time, which is a good way into what I want to read next. And I want one of your sisters, just if you have your Bibles available, to go to Ecclesiastes 3, and mm-hmm. let's just look upon what is saying in Ecclesiastes 3 to us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there with me?
Mm.
Ecclesiastes 3. This is the trick of the enemy that causes us not to do what God requires us to do when we should do it. Even the centurion, if you think about time in the scriptures, when the centurion came to Jesus after Jesus had just left the woman that touched the hem of his garment, and the centurion says, hey, I got one of my servants that's sick, and I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. All I want you to do is say the word. I got that much faith. And God, Jesus says, I've never seen this much faith.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this much faith. And he said, go, you know, bum. And the servant went, believing that the man was healed. But he was interrupted. Here's how the adversary comes. He's interrupted by one that's coming to him and say, hey, don't bother. You know, he's dead. Don't bother. You know, don't bother Jesus. It's time out. It's too late. And then when Jesus blesses and touches the man through that time zone, if you will, the servant is healed. And then the centurion asks, what time, please tell me, what time was it when he recovered? Then the man answered, responded. He said, it was at this hour. And the centurion knew that it was the same. It was the same time he had asked Jesus to touch his servant. So, you know, if time is that important to Jesus, time is that important to God, it's got to be important to us.
And I just want to say before you go on, Pastor, is that when we come, like we're out of order when we come into the congregation late. And if we're supposed to be the body of Christ and God is always on time, then when we come in late and he wants to do a thing in that service and we're supposed to be connected, then we're throwing the body off and we don't even realize it.
Right,
because
right.
God has a certain time that he wants to move. And, Bishop, you get up maybe before in worship, and they've missed it.
Yeah, it's gone. That moment is gone.
And they've messed up the flow, basically, if we're supposed to be connected as a body.
That's right.
You know, God,
that's,
you know.
And we, even my praise and worship team, they're, you know, they are in place. They just don't come on play. You cannot...
Mm-hmm.
This is my scruple. This doesn't mean it's sinful and or not. I'm telling you my scruple. I'm being very transparent with you.
Amen.
But none of my musicians come on time. You cannot play.
Wow.
My own time for the musicians is 10:45 at the latest for 11 o'clock service. If you're there at 10:45, for me, your own time.
Mm.
But if you're there at 11 o'clock, I can do without I can do without the voice.
Wow.
We have such media apparatus. I can have somebody sing. I'm a singer myself. it doesn't. So we have to train our people the value of time.
And I believe God honors that, Bishop. I believe He honors that.
He does, and He hits everything. The moments that we have, if we value what God has to do it. Have you ever in your spirit said, where did time go?
Yeah.
A little bit ahead of myself, but you said, where did time go?
Yeah.
See, right before we read Ecclesiastes, well, maybe we'll just, let's read it there. Let's go with Ecclesiastes, if you would. Someone start to read. I'm going to stop you at a certain point and talk about it.
Okay.
Anyone?
To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven.
So number one says, for everything there's a season and time for every matter under heaven. So that time is controlled by whom?
Wow, heaven.
That time is controlled by heaven. God controls heaven. That heavenly time has to be masterful to us. It has to be to the point where we understand that there's a time for every season that God has for us. You see, sometimes we use seasons as our escape route.
Mm.
I.e., we'll come in and say, well, you know, my season is up here.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible thing to say.
Wow.
If we said that before, it's not a wise thing to say because you don't control your season.
That's
God.
Right. Amen.
You see, so if we're great at all things, other things we do, we have to be masters of what we do for Christ Jesus. I believe this way. When we look at professional football, basketball, whatever sport it is, the first year that a person makes the team, they're usually called rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Year they become veterans. After they're on the team for a matter of time, we call them pros.
That's right.
Likewise, in the body of Christ, your first year or so is a forgiving year. It really is. You're doing some things. You're learning. You know, I'm excited about God. I got a zeal about God. You know, you say some wrong things. You do some, you know, some things that's outside. But you're learning to do better.
Right.
And you're learning to find your purpose in that probationary year, if you will. On your second year, you're not a rookie anymore. There are some things that you're going to have to know better than to do. And we're not going to expect you to do some things. The natural baby that we have and we raise, after a while, they become potty trained, whether that's two or three or four, whatever case may be, but they become potty trained. When they get seven and get ready to go to school in the first grade or so, we don't expect them to potty on themselves anymore.
Amen.
It's not even a thought. You know, you don't wear a diaper at seven.
Right.
You know, you don't get a 7 years old. You know, there's certain things you get past. So it is in the body of Christ. We have to have these expectations, and we have to hold these people accountable to it, that you no longer can dwell in that kind of spirit.
Right. And some of us still dwell in that type of spirit. My God.
So we're acting like, you know, little babes in Christ when we actually should be more mature in Christ than that. Now let's go to the second verse.
Mm-hmm. a time to be born, and a time to die.
Okay,
time,
now, number two, that's our dash. That's our dash of life. That's what happens when we're born. There's a time on your headstone that says this is when
they
came in. And my dash is this verse number two.
Yes, that's good.
Dash, the time that I'm called to go home. I'm praying that our times when we're called to go home is to be with the Lord. Because this applies to those who believe that God is. As far as our heavenly time is concerned. See, there was a time that I didn't even value time. It didn't mean anything to me. I was just living for the moment. We all have gone through that canal that we just live for the moment. But when we find out that our time is precious in God's sight, we spend time with our children, we spend time with our mother because she's not going to be here long, and our father and our folks, we spend quality time doing something in fellowship one with another. That's why we waste our time when we're upset with another saint. Oh, and God is not pleased because you're wasting something that he's given unto you. Oh, my goodness. So,
that's
you know,
good.
I learned, oh, man, I feel better, and I'm growing better, and I'm living better because I have a reverence for time, and I don't have time for foolishness.
Amen.
And foolishness is getting upset, having picks and clicks in the church. You know how we form. And all this, and, you know, they don't want you on this and don't want you on the hospitality thing. All kind of stuff. We do it. So it's a waste
of time
that belongs to God.
Wow.
Amen. As we go on to the second part, it's the time to plant and pluck what was planted. You know, we sow some seeds, but the seeds that we sow are not permanent.
That's good.
Amen. So we sow some seeds, but we got to understand that sow, the seeds that we sow are not permanent because there's going to be a time, even though it's a good seed, it has to be plucked up. Know why? Because there's a time that God wants us to have new life.
Oh, that's good.
Now let me tell you.
Oh, teach.
Let me tell you. This is why in the saints of God, we cannot accept a person that says, that's just how I am.
Amen.
You understand? Because that is not true according to the scripture. Pluck it up. Yeah, that's what the Lord said. Pluck it up. So you need to be new. You need to be renewed and revived by the hand of God.
You know, I'm usually kind of quiet, but Lord, let me start out.
Oh, that's very good, Bishop.
We have to stay away from those cliches and things that people lay on us. And sometimes they sound good. Sometimes they even fit. You know, yeah. Well, that's just how Sister such and such is. That's how Sister Johnson is just like. You just have to look over here.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not true.
Excuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. In God's sight.
Yeah.
Not so much in our. In God's sight.
God's sight.
And then it says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. Now, let me help you with the kill. If we go over to Colossians 3, the Lord teaches us, tells us that there are some things that we are responsible for mortifying.
Okay.
So we can stop some stuff. You know, I have relatives that say, well, I can't stop smoking. I can't stop. You are responsible for mortifying the flesh.
Wow.
God will give you the strength to do so, but you have to have the desire to let it go.
That's good. Gotta have your heart desire.
Yeah. So God does great things for us time and time and time again, over and over and over again, and we keep asking him over and over again things that he's already blessed us and delivered us from.
Right.
So the work is already done. We just have to kill it.
Yeah.
And then there's a time to heal. So we thank God for his healing, but there are some things that we have to kill. We have to kill backbiting. We have to kill gossip. We have to kill cussing.
That's very good.
We have to kill those things. Nobody forces you to put a blunt up to your mouth.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you have to And you have to have that desire to.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay. What about when God has called you to the ministry and you're in the church and it's because maybe you disagree with the pastor about something or the pastor was doing something and you we had like a meeting and you speak out about it. You're not directing, you're asking questions. Then you notice that after you do that, the pastor get mad with you, the congregation get mad with you. Then next thing you know, you're not doing anything in the church because, you know, it's like there's so many cliques going on in the church. And when you're trying to speak the truth sometimes, people don't like that. So it's like you're sitting in the church doing nothing after you have been there for 10 years. Do you think this time being wasted to me? And I don't like to run the church to church. Do you think a person should leave the church and maybe found another church that they could fulfill the duties of doing things in the church?
Yeah, great question. And let me give you what I believe God put in our spirit when we come to things of that issue. Now, if for me, I'm going to talk to me because can't nobody get mad at me but me on this line. So I can talk about me. I love folks that come with things even though they are negative at times. You know why? Because God has given me a spirit to learn how to turn negative things positive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now let me talk about that for a few minutes. I am a mechanic. You heard my bio a little bit. I am an engineer by trade, and engineers like to think how to make things happen. I mean, that's just a thought process we have. We want to make things happen. And oftentimes, it can get you in trouble if you think you're a better engineer than what God has already engineered. So we have to think all the time as an engineer that I'm really catching up. You know, I'm not ahead of God. I can't create what God has already put in place.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you this about the negative things. Your lights that you're sitting under right now, if you're doing so, unless you're just totally in the dark or you're somewhere in the world that is still light, but your lights are not operated by two positive terminals.
That's good.
You must have a negative input that the lights will come on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's just set this in place in the natural, and then I'm going to talk about the spiritual. So now everyone with the pastor, I don't know if it's your situation or somebody else's, is positive to the pastor. For me, I don't need a line of bobbing dogs in the back of my car to bob their head yes every time I hit the brake. Every now and again, I need someone to say, well, pastor, could it be that such. Bishop, could it be that? That's not negative to me. That's positive. Know what that does? That makes the light come on.
Mm-hmm.
That creates power to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds negative, but it's really a constructive comment.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to understand that. So now that's the natural. In the spiritual, you went in your explanations into a portion of Romans 7, which says that, you know, sometimes I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I hate to do. But I find myself doing these things over and over again, and I can't kind of control what I want to do because I always have somebody evil on the other side of me trying to tell me how to do what I don't want to do. Therefore, the law starts getting in my way, you know, the rules start getting in my way, people start getting in my way, and I decide to do what I think I should do, but here's what my word is to you. Always follow what God tells you to do. If God says, move, move, I cannot tell you to move or the person that this affects to move. God has to tell them to move.
Right.
God will say, come out from among those, because he wouldn't tell you that your gift will make room for you if there is no room for you.
Okay.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So whatever gift that you have, if your gift is being shut down by the creators of this clique or the creators of this tea party within the church or whatever the case may be, then it means that, look, I love everyone here. This is what the person has to voice from their lips. Open rebuke is better than a secret love. I love everyone here. I don't have aught with anyone here. But I believe that we could better use such resource, whatever it is, in this. I have voiced that, and it seems though, I have been shut down and excommunicated because I raised a voice for this particular subject matter. You have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I'm praying that I can get back into fellowship with those of you here I love. But if we're going to reserve, I'm not holding on to my thought just because it's my thought. I just believe it came from God. However, if I'm going to be shut down and shut out, then I don't need to be in.
Okay. But, you know, like I said, I don't want to get into a lot of the information because I don't know who's listening or whatever.
Right.
But I don't mind giving my name. Yeah, I'm Minister Bernice.
General.
I'm Minister Bernice Washington. And, you know, I just have faith in God that he will, because people keep saying, join my church. I told them, you know, I can't make a move until God gives me that notification that it's time for me to move on.
Only you would know that.
Right. And I'm just so, you know, people keep saying, well, my church is this, my church is that. But then God knows the inside and outside of the church. I don't know anything. The only thing I know is that I want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and to do the work of the Lord, that is his commission to preach the gospel to as many people as I can, to witness to people. And that's my focus, is to be right with the Lord. If I'm right with him, then I don't have to worry. You know?
Right. Well, sister, I'm going to be praying with you. I don't know who you are, don't know your name, but let me tell you, this is what I'm going to be praying with you. You will hear the voice of God. Is going to reveal himself to you wisely and strongly. God is not going to have you to be painfully worshiping him anywhere.
Amen.
I'm going to worship him in spirit and in truth. I am going to worship him. The spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Yeah.
Not bondage.
And you know, Satan was telling me that I was too old. You know, after you get a certain age, you don't want to move. But then, you know, sometimes, you know, we just feel as though we're compromising with the devil. I'm too old to do this, or I've been here too long. You know, and I just want to be engaged in doing what God wants me to do. You know, I want to be, you know, I want to live a righteous life. You know, like it says, creating me a clean heart and a righteous spirit. That's what I want each and every day. I ask God for that. You know, so I want to walk, not only talk the talk, but I want to walk the walk. You know.
Absolutely.
My name is Minister Washington. I need prayers, okay, that God will guide and direct my path. The Holy Spirit is doing a good job, but, you know, sometimes you get hesitant about doing things. So I just want to be encouraged to, you know, to be prayerful, and God will answer my prayer.
Absolutely. And Minister Washington, we'll certainly be praying with you. This is not new. You know, I've had it in my own church, and here's what I relay to the people of God in my own church. Please understand and hear my heart when I tell them this. Don't fall in love with me.
That's
fall
good.
In love with God. Because if you fall in love with me, you're going to be hurt when I don't do what it is that you want me to do. You're going to be hurt and you're going to be damaged. You're going to become a wounded soldier in the body of God. But if, when you fall in love with Jesus, see, the church building sometimes matters more to us than the spirit of worship. Because
Amen.
I've been here 17 years. I was here when you started. You know, you're not going to run me away. But we can't fall in love with the church building.
Right.
The church. We have to be led by the spirit of the Lord. God may be. Right back to verse 2. God may be plucking you up. It's not the people.
Right.
God may be uprooting you.
That's good.
And putting you somewhere where your gift is going to make room for you. See, the disciples could not stay with Jesus for the entire term of his life. He had to put them out two by two. You have to kick folks out of the nest at some point for them to go and to minister. You may have run the course that God wants you. Let me repeat that. You may have run the course that God wants you to run where you are, and you're not going to be able to minister where you are because God's gift is set for you in another set house. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying be mindful when you listen to God and don't be afraid to be uprooted and replanted.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay,
and
well,
share that with your leadership. Share it with your leadership.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. But let me go through here. I'm going to just do it a little quickly because we may be running out of time, and I know But let me go to 4. Thank you so much. It's a time to weep, which we do, and then there's a time to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jesus says, these times that we have, when he says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, it has to be that there is a time not to weep and then there is a time not to laugh. So there is a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. There is even a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Now, this is very important in the church of the living God for those who are huggers. you want to just greet some people, but some people don't understand your greeting.
Yeah.
And you have to be wise. You know, I had an elder on staff that we had to drill with this. Everyone comes to the altar, don't want you to embrace him.
Amen. That's so true.
You understand? There are husbands that don't want you to embrace their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not saved.
Yep, that's true.
And even sometimes when they are saved, it doesn't, you know, you have to turn all this evil.
True.
So I know you're a saint, I know you're anointed, but you're also appointed as an elder to be wise in what you do.
Yep.
Right.
You know, the embracing and framing is there. There's a time to seek, time to lose. We're not going to win everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just not going to win. We're not going to win every argument with our wife and our husband. We're not going to. We're just refrain from. Sometimes peace comes with silence. I'm not going to ruffle this up. I'm not going to stir this up anymore. I know that I'm going to say the wrong thing, so I don't want to say anything. I'm not shutting down. I am shutting off what I would say out of place. There's a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to. A time to keep and a time to be silent, it says it on. A time to love and a time to hate. Now, that sounds a little strange, but actually when you go back to Proverbs, there are several things that God hates.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know, God hates it when we don't represent him well, or when we claim that we represent him. We carry his name, but we don't carry his nature.
Amen. That's good. Mm-hmm.
There's a time for war and a time for peace. So, the Ecclesiastes role in 13 is very apropos for what we send as far as time is concerned. Let me move to a thought for this particular hour, and I want you to write this. So we must guard against that time will last and opportunity always knock. That is not true. Let me say it again. We must guard against thinking
that time will last and opportunity will always knock. There are and there is a time for everything. And we must be ready, available, waiting for that opportunity to knock. Let's go back to Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. The time for everything. There's going to be a time you're going to have your oil in your lamp trimmed, ready to go, because there's not going to be another opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it so clear. So a man thinks, so is he. Amen. So we have to be ready when the Lord says be ready. Let me move on about our timeline tonight. It says each tick of the clock is a God-given opportunity to gain wisdom. Let me say it again. Each tick of the clock is a God-given opportunity to gain wisdom. Even in the midst of something that doesn't look right, it's an opportunity for us to gain wisdom. So don't ignore it. Don't turn from what God has brought you to see. Gain wisdom from it, even though it may be hard to swallow.
Wow.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because many wounded soldiers cannot get healed because they hold on to so many old hurts, old pains. Too many wounded soldiers, too many wounded saints, and they don't want to get well. Look like they want to hold on to that long-term timeline. They want to talk about how it was when we was at this particular place and on. They don't want to get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to the question where I must ask, are anybody, is anyone on the line adrift? Now, let me explain what a drifter is. Those who move outside of the will of God, and you know it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I just drift off sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I just drift off. I just had, you know, I just had to cuss somebody out. I know that I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
That's drifting away from God. So, you know, I just had to give them a piece of my mind, which causes to drift away from God. In the book that I'm writing, I talk about drift a little bit, and I use the acrostic of drift, which states doing right if forced to. So we can do right when we are under the microscope of others, if we're forced to.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to do right even when no one else is watching.
You know,
even in the privacy of your own home, even in the privacy of your own secret closet.
Wow.
He is concerned about your drift.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving further and further away from him.
Because he's watching anyway. You know, we do so many things in public and whatnot just to show our, put our best foot forward. But when we're behind closed doors, we're like totally different people. But I remember my mother bringing us up. She says, just don't do things or just don't do something halfway. And don't do it good when somebody's watching, but do it good even when I'm not watching you.
Yeah.
You know, I thank God for her because it showed me that whether you're looking at me or whether you're not looking at me, I'm still going to do it the same way, to the best of my ability.
Absolutely. You know, God is time.
Because God is what? Yes. Amen.
And time never takes time off.
That's good. That's good.
Time never takes time off.
That's good.
It's always. And here's the thing that we have to just observe about us. With us. You know, when we were young, we thought we had all the time in the world. Our youthful time seemed to we wanted it to pass fast.
Mm-hmm.
To grow up, we couldn't wait to. I can't wait to do this. Wait to get my license. I can't wait to get out of school. I can't wait to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to rush time.
Yeah.
Then get a little older. Same flip.
The birthday's coming around too fast.
Just don't have time enough to do it.
Slow down.
I don't have time enough to do all the things. So what that says to us is that we are maturing because we've seen a total flip in our life. We're maturing in Christ Jesus. Now we have to manage time because time is a constant. We never took time off. It's the same amount of hours in a day. It's the same amount of seconds in a minute. So a day encompasses 86,000 seconds, and that does not change.
Wow.
So it's been there. We just have to respect time and be able to do things in time for God. Let me talk about how we doing, Brother Clay.
We are looking at time-wise. You should still be good time-wise. We are
okay.
24 minutes.
Okay, I want to look at some time crunchers. If time is going to be redeemed, if we're going to learn how to redeem the time, we run back to Ephesians 5 again. If we have to walk carefully for time, each time someone moves you away from God into an argument, it is a waste of time. Each time someone can move you from your character of representing God, it is a waste of time. Each time someone can take you off the balance beam of God, you usually enter into a day of evil. So then, as it says in the scripture, that time becomes foolish, and you forget and do not know what the real will of the Lord is. So just put it in your mindset. Each time that I'm thrown off kilter, you know it's an attack of the enemy. Whether you're at work, whether you're having an interpolation with your manager or your supervisor or someone did you wrong, when it throws you off your actions for God, you know it's the enemy. And we can't redeem that time. They have stole it from us.
Wow.
So we have to learn how not let people steal our time. Our time is always packed with potential and a good measure for God. Let me say it again. Our time is always packed with potential and a good measure for God. The enemy's job is to take the opportunity to move you away from the quality time that God is giving you every day. And the enemy is on his job every day.
Mm-hmm.
Satan spares no effort in trying to steal, regardless of how it is, he tries to steal our time. That's one of his vices,
mm-hmm.
because he's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few knockers for time. Number one, laziness, slowfulness.
Uh-oh.
Is a thief of our time.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Let me say it again. Laziness and slowfulness is a thief of our time. You ever had the mindset that I'm sure many of us have, you may not be excluded from it. We come with this resolution every year on how much weight you're going to lose and how you're going to step down and how I'm going to do this better. I'm not going to date like that anymore. I'm not going to get into the fornication. I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's a laziness or a lack of believing by faith that God can keep you.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So the adversary throws us off the balance beam, and then we have to climb. We just can't jump back up. We've got to climb back on the balance. But there is a way of overcoming it. Anything that the vice that the adversary puts in our path, God is an overcomer.
Amen.
So any vice that we have, we know that we can overcome it. And the reason God says he's an overcomer is so that we won't succumb to the vice of the enemy. So we can overcome laziness. We can overcome idleness. Minister Washington, we can overcome idleness. If idleness is saying that my time is stagnated and I'm done doing anything, you can do more with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So don't let idleness stagnate you from doing what you want to do in the body of Christ, doing what God has commissioned you to do in the body of Christ. Keep working. Don't let them throw you off the balance beam. Don't let folks throw you off the balance beam. Keep moving and keep not proving yourself to God, but living a life pleasing in the sight of God. And then God will be the rewarder.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Procrastination is one of the things that we all have to really war against, because procrastination says that we put off things that we should be doing today until another time. And then we end up not doing them in the time that we call another time. That's what procrastination is. So, when we say, I'll get to it tomorrow, you say, well, I'm going to pray. Well, I'm going to do it later. Normally, if you don't do under the auspices of the Spirit, if the Spirit wakes you up in the morning, to get up in the morning, and you wait to pray a little bit later, you probably will not.
Mm-hmm. And that prayer doesn't even flow. Mm-hmm.
No. A lot of people got experience when it comes to procrastination. They know just how to do it. And then they can make an excuse for it, justify why it is they're not doing what God has required them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a call from the congregation Sunday before last on those who had a call on their life in the ministry. Little did I know, I had like, I guess 8, 9, 10 those sitting on their call. What the world? You know, it comes from somewhere else. You know, it came from another church or something. I said, well, how in the world? How are we missing this? You know, I was just being obedient to God. I mean, but elders and ministers and folks come out. I said, where in the world? You know, what you sing in the choir? So you got a call and you're, well, you know, I was last church. I was an elder here and I was elder. I said, what the world? Well, I'm waiting on the right time. What kind of time?
What time? Right.
What in the world? And you're letting God down all the time that you are waiting. You're letting God down in what God has commissioned you to do. That's being nerving, because it's not the pastor that's getting hurt. It's not the church that's getting hurt. God has you for an appointed time to minister to people of God. And he's given you something to give to the people of God, which you are keeping in your bosom. Therefore, you cannot be blessed. You know, you cannot be healed. I mean, you're not being obedient to God. So, you know, he's not going to expend time on you because you expended time on him. But I'm not going to do it. So that's what keeps us from really being blessed by God. Our blessings are right above our head. And when we don't praise God, we can't reach him.
Amen.
Whew. Lord,
that's good. That's good.
Distractions or another. About distractions, because this is something that I have to battle with in what I do, because I can be easily distracted by something that seems to be important. Many people don't understand why bishops have adjuncts, and we have folks that help us to move here. You know, I have folks that want to give you a check, they want to give you personal money, they want to say hello, and you don't turn down those people because you don't want them to the point where you're untouchable.
Right. Right.
But sometimes those things distract you.
Distract.
Somebody, healing somebody and anointing somebody. Mm-hmm. You have to have those agendas help you along the way. They're not there to keep people from you. It's to keep you from people.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You'll get stuck right there in that particular rut. Usually 20% of the people that's going to take up 80% of your time.
Wow.
I mean, it hadn't changed from Jesus. You know, you got people that wanted Jesus. Do you recall in John 5 in the pool of Bethesda where Jesus came into the gate? You know, Jesus came into the animal gate. And you know, if you know anything about animals, that's where all the dung and all the stuff is. Mm-hmm. And they had a man that was there 38 years. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can't get in the water when the water's troubled. Now, that's faith coming for 38 years. Mm-hmm. When the water's troubled, I have no one there to put me in. I have no one else to help me in. Because, you know, all the other folks are jumping in. Now, some of those folks that was jumping in the pool when the water was troubled didn't really have any serious ailment.
Mm.
Oh, my, they're just taking up time. Maybe a little finger ache, maybe a little headache, maybe a little nausea. You mm-hmm. know, they stepping over the ones that really needed to be mm-hmm. put in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know, because they're distracted by their own little self stuff.
Yes.
The Bible. I love the story in the Bible where four mm-hmm. men took another man that was on his mat, climbed up on the roof because
yes.
there wasn't enough, pulled back the sheet of the roof, and they had enough faith. If we can just get him to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they weren't distracted by none of that. If we can just get him in the hands of Jesus, I know he's going to be healed.
Yes. And they helped that man, just like
yeah.
the man at the pool. Nobody, yeah,
yeah
right. Everybody
yeah.
was stepping over him
instead Absolutely.
Of saying, "Well, I got a headache, but this man can't walk, so let's do this."
Exactly
for him,
right.
You know.
Right. So you know, our
selfish.
Job. Jesus gave us an example. Our job, when we have the help of that God has given us, is to help others.
Yes. Very good.
I mean, to really step out and help us. Same thing with James and John, with the man at the gate called Beauty. He said, silver and gold have I none, but I do have something. I'm just as broke as you are, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have money. I don't have all of this. You're asking for alms. I don't have alms to give you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do have is the presence of God.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. You see,
I'm feeling that, Bishop. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Peter, I want one day, God, before I leave and go to heaven, just let my shadow be cast on something.
Yeah, that's what we're
Jesus, how much my greatest desire. Yeah. Not that I want to be Jesus. I just want to have the power somebody out. That much.
Yeah.
So I don't want you can't be distracted by things of the world, and you can't be picky on who you're going to help.
Yes, Lord.
Just somebody. You know, the man on the Samaritan road, you can't be picky about it. See, those who passed by the man on the Samaritan road were picky about who they wanted to help. A priest passed by, he didn't help him. Other men passed by, didn't help him. But this one man came by, he wasn't picky about who he wanted to help.
Amen.
Well, saints of God, if they smell bad, if God anointed you to do it, you need to help whoever it is. Don't wait until the big chance come by.
Amen.
The big chance is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to help those who are in need, and God has commissioned us to do so. So I just believe that those time distractors and those time stressors, and we can overcome those distractions by focusing on God, getting into the will of God, knowing what our purpose is in God and in Christ Jesus and in the church. Whatever we do, saints of God, tonight with your time management, if you're going to manage your time, find out what your purpose is. If you don't know your purpose, you'll spend too much time searching for it, and you won't be able to do the will of God, because I'm trying to find out what God would have me to be. Let's go back to the football team. I mean,
mm-hmm.
look, you've been playing defensive back for 3 years. You don't know that you're a defensive back?
That's right.
You're still getting in the way over there trying to run the ball up on the line? What are you doing? Play your position. Stay in your position. Get where God has anointed you to be, and stay there. Work in it and become great in it. God will move you to better things later on, but become great at what God has appointed and anointed you to do.
That's good, Bishop.
Pray. You know, if you're a greeter at the door, greet. If you're an usher, be the best usher.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
then the whole team. Then the whole team is great. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just when you do your part, everything works.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't try to, you know, don't try to be the poor quarterback you
mm-hmm.
know, when you're the lineman. Don't you just block. Do
right.
what God
Amen.
Is. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that God will bless us, make us overcomers, if we would just be attentive to what he has done with our time management. It is a great tool. It goes further than the scripture. It affects everything that we do. It really does. when we learn how to manage time. And God loves us to manage time. God loves us to manage his resources. That's why he calls us stewards of God, because we manage his resources.
Amen.
Now, let me just ask a few questions, and then I'm going to close out. Three. The first question is, are you easily distracted? If so, why? Anyone on the line? Are you easily distracted by things? If so, why? This can be, now, for the mothers, fathers, or this can be anything that distracts you. You have to be aware of. First, distractions, we have to be aware of them. See, our children can distract us by pulling mama, 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 trying to pray. Mama, 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 mama. So, you know, that distracts you, pulls away from your prayer time, even though you have to take care of the infant or the child at hand. But the fact of the matter is, had you had time management, that child would have been in bed at 10 o'clock or at 9 o'clock, whatever your time zone is.
Mm-hmm.
So being that you didn't manage your time, kid didn't pay any attention to time because it wasn't valuable to you. So therefore, now you're distracted by what you should have taken care of in the first place. You follow what I'm saying? So we can be easily distracted by things. As for me, I have a prayer time in the morning when I was working as an executive down. I had prayer time in the morning. They knew. I came in early. I took my time. I had my time. They knew in that zone not to distract me.
Mm-hmm.
Some tried, and it didn't benefit them. Matter of fact, kind of made it look rough. But that's the time that I have, and I had an allotted time. I came in particularly to take that time. You know, after you drive through traffic for an hour sometime, and, you know, it throws you off your zone.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting you off, putting in brakes, you're sitting in traffic, you're trying to do this, trying to. So, you know, you need to get back into the will of God as soon as you get into work. That was for me. That's what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to have me some time so I wouldn't get distracted by the vices of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, does anyone have any time that you're distracted like that? Amen. If not, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Trying to do it better, Bishop.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask, what kind of things distract you the most? TV, shopping, whatever. I mean, think, what throws you off kilter the most? Now, I know there ain't no perfect saints on this line because I wasted an hour and a half teaching. But what throws us off the most? What, I mean, can you think of something that kind of throws you off the most? I mean, it's there because we get thrown off by so many things that's innocent. And
yeah.
This is why the question
say,
is being asked.
I would say with me, Bishop, is talking too much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Talking too much, not knowing when to stop and move on.
Right, move on. And that's a great thing because sometimes when you counsel, you need to counsel. When you counsel, sometimes you need to cancle.
Yeah.
You know, I need to cancel some of that stuff that I'm counseling about. So, and that's sometimes hard to do. But again, we know that there's a time for everything. We have the ability to cut it off. Here's the great thing that we know. If we already know that this is a distractor for us, whose responsibility is it to cut it off?
Mine.
Ours.
Yep, that's right.
We already. And God has already given that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we have to be aware of it. So, you know, just aware of. And the thing that I was getting to in the question is because when we don't recognize or we don't tap on things that distract our time, guess what? They'll continuously in our lives be distractors. And
wow.
They become natural now when it's not natural in the spiritual realm.
Wow.
So they become common to us.
And we ignore them now because we can't get back into the right seed planting, and we can't pluck up anything because we think it's right. So we ignore it, and it becomes a vice to us now that we can't move on in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So
that's good.
We have to recognize them, and when we recognize them,
mm-hmm.
we can work them.
Yeah. Because I hear you, Brother John, because there's been times I've talked to Brother John, and I said, I know I'm talking too much. I know, but you know what? You get in that flow, and you're just running your mouth. And I said, oh, I know I'm talking too much. And you know what? We do have the power to cut it off.
Yeah.
We do have that power, you know.
Yeah.
And we want to be perfected in Christ, you know, not an effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? So I thank God for this word. This is a good word.
You have to think of a time you got off course.
Yes.
How did it take you off course?
Mm-hmm.
And how much time you wasted as a result of being off course?
Mm-hmm.
Then lastly, how you overcame it so you wouldn't repeat it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
But those processes have to go through our mind that distract us. What took me off course? What moves me to have a love affair outside of God? I'm not talking about a sexual love affair. I'm talking about what moved me from not loving God enough, not to be distracted by this instrument. It used to be race cars for me. I used to drive fast cars. I loved them. I loved the speed. I loved the vibe of them. I loved the feeling of throwing me back in the seat and all of that. You know, so I would put a lot of time into it because where your treasures are, that's where your heart is also. So God had to fix it for me, and then, you know, I got tempted when I got sent overseas. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I went to Germany, and you know, the Autobahn is no speed limit.
Wow.
So you know, you can go ahead and let it go. So you know, my first couple of months over there, you know, it's like 140, 130, 140. I mean, just ripping it if you got a car to do it. So.
Bishop, thank God he kept you.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you. That was normal traffic.
That's crazy.
On the Autobahn.
That's crazy.
What I first got there. But it's just like our 55. 110, 115 is just like our 55 over there.
That's crazy.
And every car, I mean, you'd get run over.
Jesus.
So you have to kind of crank it up. But, you know, you come back to the States, don't get mad when you get a ticket because, you know, they don't... They don't allow you to do 110, as I found out from experience. But, you know, we have to, those distractors, those things, you have to think about them, and then you have to react to them. Because things that become natural in one culture is not the same when you move over to another culture.
Yeah,
once you are saved, things have to change. You can't do the same thing that you did in an unsaved life in a saved life.
That's good.
Albert Einstein says it like this: problems cannot be solved by the same level of thinking that created them.
That's good.
It takes a renewing of your mind, as it says in Philippians 2. We have to renew our minds in Christ Jesus. If not, we'll repeat the same things over, and to God, it's a waste of our time.
Mm.
Amen. And I think my time is up, so thank God.
Yeah, we're looking at about 90 seconds left.
Thank you so much, Brother John, for having me on your show tonight. I pray that something has been said that will touch someone and cause them to live a better life in Christ Jesus. I certainly appreciate being here. I want to close in prayer and thank God again for this opportunity to share with you. I'd love to be back on soon, and I hope that I can come to Cleveland again and visit you soon again, my brother. So if you don't mind, we'll close out, Brother John, and again, thank God and salute your wonderful bride for me, and tell her that I said hello.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bless you.
God bless you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for what our ears have heard, and even, Lord God, what our eyes have seen through the word, Lord God, even though we can't see what it is. We can't see you, but we can feel you in the name of Jesus. We bless you for this moment. We bless you for this time. Continue to bless the new beginnings. We continue to bless those, Lord God, who are moving the word through the airways and reaching people in far distance, Lord God, and not shutting out anybody but including everybody in the wisdom, Lord God, we need to serve you better. Bless us with our time management. Fill us with your precious Holy Spirit. And bless us, Lord God, to be a blessing to somebody else. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you right now. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God, and again, we love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We do thank you once again, Bishop Palmer. And for those that tuned in, we thank you for tuning in and being a part of this. We're going to be closing out right now. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen.